This episode of Robin's Podcast is sponsored by Sensible Portions. Sensible Portions garden veggie straws are deliciously crunchy, a better-for-you snack that the whole family is going to love. Sensible Portions garden veggie straws have a flavor for every taste, like fiery, spicy, screaming hot, whoa, or tangy, zesty ranch. And they've just launched two new flavors, barbecue and sour cream and onion. Sensible Portions garden veggie straws have a light and airy texture, and get this, they have 30% less fat than leading potato chips, so you can snack both sensible and delicious. It's a perfect on-the-go snack for kids to take back to school. And Sensible Portions has also come out with a new product, Sensible Portions Garden Veggie Puffs, which are baked and never fried. It's a perfect poppable snack, and it comes in three delicious flavors: white cheddar, sour cream and onion, and screaming hot. Ah! No artificial preservatives, flavors, or colors. That's Sensible Portions. So head on over to Amazon.com/Sensible Portions to try Sensible Portions garden veggie straws and new garden veggie puffs. That's Amazon.com/Sensible Portions.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls. Survivor know-it-alls. Steven and Rob went out and down. Got the game all figured out. They know-it-alls.
Yeah, that's right. The Survivor know-it-alls are back. Week 3 of Survivor 41, and I'm very excited to be here with a man who knows a thing or two about a steal a vote. It's Stephen Fishback. Stephen, how are you?
This is Survivor 41. Take the one, add four, and everyone gets 41 votes in every tribal council. We're going to have a billion votes. It's going to be a 72-vote tribal council. It's going to we'll get in for an epic display.
72 votes. I think we're at this point, we're headed in the opposite direction. We're going to have tribal councils with one votes and no votes, and eventually get to negative vote tribal councils.
Who knows? I mean, a lot of extra votes in play, a lot of stolen votes in play. You can steal a vote, but you can't even necessarily play the vote that you steal. Mm-hmm. A lot of mystery. Hey, yes. I was really outraged about this decision.
Which
to vote
one?
Out, to vote out.
Oh.
To vote out Brad over JD. I mean, outrage is a strong word. It's too strong a word. It's a bad choice. It's crazy. I mean, it's so on the merit. Well, we'll talk about this. Yeah. I'm coming in hot here, Rob.
Coming in hot. Good. That's the perfect Survivor know-it-all. So very excited to have you here with us here, whether you're watching us here live after the episode or listening to the podcast. It's been very fun to be back and doing our thing here over these last couple of weeks. Stephen, I really thought this was a fun episode. I really enjoy it. I know there's a lot of craziness to work out with the votes, but I just did it like, tell Mike White it's working, because I thought that this was very, very fun.
It's so funny that you say that. Like I enjoyed it too, but I've heard from a lot of people who feel that the game is being totally stripped away in favor of these advantages and all of these twists. I mean, the first third of the show, you know, is not about Survivor. It's about like all the little like fun mechanics and people getting, you know, the secret note and then going on the quest on the boat. And it's, you know, it's fun. I really enjoyed it. I've become less of a purist over time, mm-hmm. simply because the game has just become so far away from that it's hard, like, you know, it's not what it is anymore. But I think a lot of people who do still have that purist, purist feeling raging in their veins get very frustrated because, you know, rather as the fandom clamors for fewer advantages and fewer, you know, wacky mechanics, the show just piles them on and on and on. For me, mm-hmm. I agree. Very fun. I think for a lot of people, it's confusing and it's too much.
Yeah. I mean, we'll definitely talk about it because I am even confused about the Shipwheel Island. I don't even know. What was this? Like the Shipwheel Resort that they went to?
Yeah. They've got
what was this place?
Really did seem like, I don't know, like a wedding venue or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they went to the White Lotus. I think that's where they went and visited. Okay. But Stephen, busy week here on the podcast. We've got a exit interview coming up in the morning with Brad. I loved Brad. I was so sad. I really have enjoyed JD. So at Tribal Council, I was like, I don't want either of these people to go. But Brad, what a legend. What a legend.
So
in
great.
Three episodes.
So many great Brad moments, you know, all over the strategy spectrum, you know, some just like horrifically bad strategy, you know, calling out people right in front of those people. Some just hilarious, you know, he had his own spy shack. How do you go mm-hmm. wrong with a spy shack? He's getting advantages. He's telling everyone about the advantages for better or for ill. We can talk about that too. But just such a big character, so much fun.
The guy had like five iconic things in three nights of the show.
It's unbelievable. I mean, and his confessionals were great. Just he was so pure. You know, he had so much like joy and authenticity. I just really loved watching his confessionals. Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to talking with Brad. And then I'm going to be back to talking with T-Bird this week. T-Bird will join me on Thursday. So we'll get your questions. Robinswebsite.com/survivor questions. And then, Stephen, this season, I'm going to start doing, multiple survivor interviews. I don't want to be just like, we only do one survivor interview a week. That's it. So I'm supposed to connect with Gandia Johnson, who we had talked with during the off season when we talked about Survivor Thailand on the all-time top 40 countdown. We had a great interview with her then. We said we were going to catch up during the season. So on Friday night, I'm going to catch up with Gandia as well. And then on the feedback show this week, the great YouTube sensation Peridium will join us on Saturday.
Cool.
Yeah.
What a lineup. What an incredible lineup.
A lot of great Survivor stuff to unpack all of this stuff. But Stephen, I guess let's talk about Brad versus JD. I saw you tweeted that you felt like there was so much of the personal content bump for JD. It had to be Brad.
Right. So last week I said with Voce, he got a personal question. He had to talk about his upbringing.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's when you know, when you get the personal question. This week, JD got a lot of personal questions, but it was so heavy-handed. Like, if you go home tonight, JD, you know, it's like, JD, wouldn't you say you're about to go home right now? It was so over the top and on the nose that I thought, like, there's no way. Like, you know, with the Voce one last week, I really thought, okay, this was subtly interwoven into the episode. This was a bit of, like, personal content. This is the emotional moment for Voce that it clearly is suggesting that it's him. This week, like, it was all the Tribal Council seemed so heavily weighted to JD going home that I felt like there's no way that they would edit it that way if JD were actually going home. So it had to be Brad.
Mm-hmm. How much of Brad's advantages do you think weighed into the decision to vote out Brad?
You know, so someone just the Queen Parvati, not actually Parvati, but the internet personage who goes by Queen Parvati, tweeted that maybe one of Shan's concerns was that next week or, you know, next episode, if they lose an immunity challenge, maybe Brad's immunity idol will be in play. And then the Shan Ricard alliance would be at risk in a 2-2 tie of one of them going home. I actually thought for me, the overwhelming logic here was that you should vote out JD. You know, the most important thing in a survivor ally over anything else is trust. I mean, Jeff said it tonight, right? Trust is the biggest word out here. You know, Brad said it too. You know, you've got to trust someone. And Brad proved himself over and over again as being completely trustworthy with Shan. He showed her both of his advantages immediately as he got them. Conversely, JD did the opposite. He not only didn't show Shan his advantage, his extra vote, but he got caught like badly hiding it.
Can I ask, so he was what like, the hell was JD doing with that? Like, it was such a weird sequence of JD says, hey, I have to go use the bathroom, like cut to a bird pooping. And then he comes back and he's like buttoning his pants and like, he's got like extra votes falling out. What was going on there? It was wild. Why did he have to take out the extra vote?
You think he was wiping his butt?
Wasn't going to say it, Steven.
I wasn't thinking it. I'm just picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah. I mean,
like the extra vote picked up what.
No. Well, I guess if they're just giving out extra votes,
why not?
Like anything, but yeah. I don't understand how he like, why would you have to even take it out of your pot? Like, why would you have the extra vote out of your pants?
Maybe it was like shoved into, it's shoved into his pants and he was like pulled down his pants to use the bathroom as one does. Mm-hmm. It's an important part of using the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And then the extra vote, just things got disarrayed and maybe he'd been away from camp for too long. It's tribal council, mm-hmm. You gotta like get back, you don't always.
Perhaps. Yeah. Okay. So then he was exposed and Ricard and Shan just let him have it. They were went right into disappointed parents with JD. Yeah.
Well, the wild thing, and he, he was like, well, you've got my life in this game now, and I'm devoted to you. And what's interesting is like that's something that contestants say, and I do feel with JD a lot of the time he is sort of emulating what he's seen on the show in the past, which is fun, but like that's a lot, some of his lines, some of his responses are kind of the things that have been like scripted by past contestants, and then he does this thing which, high volatility decision. To give someone else your advantage. And again, like, why wouldn't Shan vote him out here? She has his advantage in her hand. She knows all about Brad's cool advantages. Mm-hmm. She knows that Brad is loyal to her. She knows that Brad, is going to use his advantages to aid her. And she's got JD's advantage in her pocket. I feel like, there's so much about this show that we don't see. There's so much depth to all these relationships and we see just a very superficial layer of them. So, any one of these decisions is based on 1,000 interactions instead of the 4 that makes the television. Yeah. But based on what we saw, I thought it was a no-brainer.
So all good points. I think it's a valid question to ask. Is she even allowed to use his advantage? I mean, I feel like that there's so much gray area with these extra votes. Like, for instance, Brad, he loses his vote, but he gets a steal a vote. And we find out then Brad can't use the steal a vote because he can't vote. What is that?
Yeah. And when I had a steal a vote, I was very clear that the steal a vote functioned as though it was that person voting. So like if I had stolen Joe's vote, then I would, that vote would be functional as long as Joe had the right to vote. So for example, if there was a tie and mm-hmm. Joe was one of the people who was a tied party, he would not have the right to vote and therefore the steal a vote wouldn't work. So yeah, like technically under those rules,
right,
the steal a vote should have worked if he had stolen anybody else's vote.
So I get you can't steal Brad's vote. He's lost it. But why couldn't Brad steal JD's vote if he wanted to at that tribal council?
Yeah. And obviously like the new mechanic overrides the old mechanic. And it's very complicated. I was talking to one former Survivor player last week, and I was saying, like, item. I feel like exactly. I was feeling like they've misunderstood like Mike when Mike White said things should be like fun. They kind of misunderstood what he meant by fun, and that former Survivor player said, it seems like they thought he meant like it should be like a board game. Like a board game is fun, with all the various rules and like dice rolling and like moving around the pieces and not like, fun, like playful, which is probably what Mike White actually meant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do think that we do get a lot of that here in this season, but I think that you're right that everything with the, like the too many votes, everybody's losing the vote. I feel like that they were really close tonight with the Shipwheel Island thing of, I like that everybody found the thing. It was like an adventure. It felt like something fresh and different. Everybody was going to go on this boat. Everybody went to this meetup, but then we went back to the same thing from the first week of like, instead of like risk your vote, protect your vote, we're doing TARP or steal a vote. And it's like, first off, like, are those like two sides of the same coin? Like, what is, like, do those two things necessarily go together? And then the rules are very confusing in terms of, okay, if everybody picks TARP, did they get a TARP? Like, it seemed very hard to even get the TARP.
Everybody picks TARP. I mean, that's the thing. It wasn't even the same rules as the previous ship wheel. Mm-hmm. If everyone picked TARP, then they got a TARP. If you picked TARP and anybody else picked steal a vote, they got the steal a vote, but you did not get a TARP. You got nothing. And then if everyone picked steal a vote, they all lost their vote. So when Sydney volunteered to pick TARP, knowing that everybody else was going to pick steal a vote, she was basically taking one for the team. She was basically saying, I know I'm going to get nothing out of this because I'm assuming that at least one of these people is going to pick steal a vote. But she was just, I guess, being like a nice, friendly like player and like helping them out.
Yeah. But at that point, why did Tiffany select TARP?
Yeah, that's what
she's like, I don't trust Sydney.
Right. I guess she thought, Sydney kind of said, like, can you really risk your vote? Like, the safest thing to do is pick TARP because there's no way you lose your vote, right? Maybe you get a TARP, maybe you get nothing, but there's no way that you actually lose your vote. And so if Tiffany picked, you know, steal a vote, I'm sorry, steal a vote, then there was a chance that she would also lose her vote. And as Sydney pointed out, she really couldn't afford to, right? Because, like, there was every indication that Yellow would lose again. They didn't. And you know, with a four-person tribe, she really couldn't risk that loss.
Yeah. I mean, what if they just went there and it was like on the table, there's a steal a vote, there's a TARP, and there's like a bag of rice, and they have to decide, you all get to leave with one, figure it out.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's a much better idea.
Because with everybody losing the vote in the game, it's like it's very confusing. I like that we have the opportunity that you can like make allies or adversaries getting these people together. But I just feel like that this extra mechanic there, I feel like makes it like very complicated and confusing.
And the players themselves clearly aren't totally sure. They're more like, whatever. Like, we'll just do this. Yeah, okay, that sounds good. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't translate. You know, whatever complicated strategy they're doing, it doesn't like totally translate to the TV.
Yeah. You know, we were talking about the decision Brad versus JD, and I just feel like that this decision to me had more to do with what we saw last week, where Brad ended up diving into the spy shack, and then he told Shan what was going on. Shan told Ricard what was going on, and Ricard says, like, we got to get rid of Brad. To me, I feel like that was the cardinal sin for Brad in this game.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, and I do think this is a good move for Ricard, right? Because for Ricard, Brad and Jeannie are more his enemies. But Jeannie voted for him previously, as was brought up in this episode.
Yeah.
And there's more tension and less alliance between Ricard and Brad and Jeannie than there is between Shan and Brad and probably Jeannie as well. So I think for Ricard, this is definitely a good move. I think for Shan, it is not a good move, right? I think like if you have someone who's so loyal and so honest and showing you everything and proving that, I just don't know why you would ever get rid of that person. I think you should really go out of your way to try to keep the person who is like 100% committed to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, JD's been an interesting character, and I really enjoy having him on the show. But I feel like that his like attempt at the finger roll in the challenge, I think, was like a great like moment that, you know, encapsulated his Survivor game so far of like, hey, here's this fancy thing that I'm going to attempt to do. And watch this as he fails at doing the very fancy thing when he could have been like more straightforward and accomplished the same thing and done it, where like I'm gonna go and lie about the vote, I'm gonna be like sneaky here, and I'm gonna like try to do, you know, a bunch of things that he needs to play with more within himself.
Are you concerned as an impressionist yourself that you're gonna lose, you know, the title as a great Survivor impressionist, give it to him?
what do you think?
Oh, I mean, I tweeted that, like, I thought that his impressions were on the level of Spencer Bledsoe's impressions, which is the lowest quality of impression. Like, that's the worst impression.
First off, I'm sure, Woo must be thrilled to get the shout out to, you know,
he's probably a terrible move. Yeah,
he's probably out there saying, you know, to get a young survivor like JD.
Is it Penner?
All right. So look, this is not helpful. Yeah. Well, how's your impressions? Yeah.
I would never make a claim. He did Reem without saying dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to have to talk to Reem and see what she thought.
That's
We'll get her. We'll get her on soon to talk about what's going on. But
One point I want. Oh, go ahead, Rob.
No, I think that was cool to get all of these shout outs to the former survivors.
Yeah, it was fun. And I do love that about JD. I love that, like, his fandom is so there and he's like so in, you know, emulating his heroes from the show. And he just like is having so much fun out there and trying so hard. And obviously from a television perspective, it's fun to see him like not do as great. Mm-hmm. But from a game perspective, it's less successful.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to say, that to your point though, about, you know, trying too hard and having too many flourishes, I feel like this idea has become kind of conventional wisdom on Survivor, that you got to play hard to win. And I'm out here to make big moves and I don't want to play it safe and play cautious. And that's not true. You know, like playing it safe and playing it cautious in the pre-merge is actually like a very sensible, good strategy. And I feel like, you know, production and the, you know, really wants everyone to think like, I got to play hard. I got to make big moves all the time. Mm-hmm. Don't do that for future players. Well, don't make that mistake.
You know, Steven, I normally would agree with you, but I do wonder, like, in this like sprint of a season, 26 days. And I was talking about this with Adam Klein on the recap this past week about how, you know, is the onus really on how do I survive these 3 days? Like even more so, you know, the Sandra Diaz Twine strategy, which is ever relevant in the, you know, international survivor community, that just the idea of like, should I worry less about the long-term planning and just figure out how to solve, you know, this one tribal council, because with all of these advantages and everything crazy going on, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Right.
There's so much uncertainty that you just should focus on getting through the tribal council at hand.
Oh, I think that's what I'm saying. I think you want a slightly more like a more narrowly focused game rather than like opening up and playing this crazy aggressive game that's going to, you know, maybe blow up in your face tomorrow. I mean, or are you saying you need to take those edges when you got them?
Yeah, that's more of what I'm saying, because I feel like that, you know, is just going with the numbers here, not really the most advantageous way to play, because of that is playing it a little too safe in this game.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the people who have advantages in the game are the ones who are getting voted out. Like, you know, Brad got voted out tonight. You know, he was going after all the advantages. JD had advantages. He was the other target. You know, Jeannie and Ricard are sitting pretty. Chan is sitting pretty. They didn't have any advantages. They didn't have any like crazy big moves.
Okay. Well, can we talk about Xander?
Yeah.
Is Xander done now as far as voting?
Well, hold on. I just can't vote anymore until the merge. Wait, we have to talk about first. What a missed opportunity this was. Why would Jeff cue him up like that? I was so, weren't you heartbroken when Brad has this line about broccoli, which we can talk about. And then Jeff says, like, Xander, what do you make of that? Like, he gave it to him. Mm-hmm. I was so excited to see how Xander was going to work it into the thing. And it just got, he just got like teed up.
Well, were you disappointed in what Xander did with it?
No, I thought he did an amazing job.
I gotta say, you shouldn't be allowed to just like, like I said last time, remember when I said that thing? Like, you shouldn't be allowed, like, no, you need to organically bring it up again. That's the rule.
But nobody thought of that. I mean, that was like, he broke it. I mean, it was such a clever solution.
It's like, if, you know, if you're playing, you know, charades, can't do like rhymes with or whatever. That's a rule, right?
I think you can do rhymes.
You rhymes with, well, whatever. There's one of these games, some of these games of like $25,000 pyramid, you can't do rhymes with. That should be against the rule. No quoting yourself. But Brad botched it so bad.
Do you think he would get partial credit? Like, so does that,
say no.
Does that count?
No, say no, don't give it to him.
No?
So just no, I think they would. But I wouldn't. I would say, I'm sorry, Brad. What was that again?
I think they would. I think realistically they would. Mm-hmm. It was pretty far from what was on the parchment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So is Xander unable to vote until the merge?
My assumption is that that thing gets rehidden and then they have to find it again.
Oh, okay. So a new and person
hidden,
could
hopefully not
it.
Hidden in like the center of camp. You had mentioned you were so happy that people found the advantages this week. Mm-hmm. They were right in the fire pit.
Well, there it seemed like that there was an advantage that they wanted them to find to be able to do, you know, a shipwheel resort. Then the other one, I think, was more traditionally found.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah. And so we'll see. That'll be interesting if we get that rehidden with a new person having to talk about trees being broccoli.
Yeah. As Brad said, I feel like he was our classic broccoli man. You know, that's it.
Classic broccoli man.
Refer to whatever that anyone has said in the past. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like it is sort of broken.
Yeah, and we'll see if anybody else can find the third part of the idol, too, so we can finally get... They called it tonight a three-way shared idol.
Yeah, what does that... I mean, I don't think that means you only get a third of the idol. What does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is like a big price to pay to get a third of an idol, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that you get each of them would get an idol. But it does not say idols. It says three-way shared idol. You're right.
Yeah, I mean... Is it one, you know, idol that you have like the three parts then have to come together like the Triforce, not the Millennials versus Gen X alliance?
Wow, that would be so crappy. That would really be crappy.
I mean, imagine, yeah, the Beware Advantage is a third of an idol.
You have to expose yourself like repeatedly at the challenge. And then,
yeah.
I don't think that's what it'd be. I think they just have to get an idol.
Did you like how the other advantages tonight were also beware advantages? Like, are all advantages beware advantages now?
It feels like you should get a different word than beware advantage. Mm-hmm. You know, at this point, like, what, it's not like trip
get a thesaurus out.
Yeah, I do think we need to consult a thesaurus.
Caution.
Warning.
Like,
it's not an advantage to get to go to the island and then like risk your vote.
Yeah.
And it's not even like a beware advantage. I mean, I don't know. We need a new word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Opportunity.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Every opportunity could also be chaos.
What was that?
I believe that's a Chinese translation. I'm not sure. I think that might be a misnomer.
Okay. I've never heard it before.
No. Yeah.
Anyway,
Steven, so what's the prospects for JD moving forward?
I mean, ultimately, I mean, Genie's got to be next, right? I mean, if Ricard is the one who's calling the shots on that tribe, you know, and he obviously has bad blood with Genie, and like, you know, Genie's number one, Brad, has been voted out. Mm-hmm. I think JD is actually not in a terrible spot.
You know, we had been trying to figure out what happened at that first tribal council where Genie voted for Ricard, and then to hear it brought up when Ricard said, well, she did spell my name right. That I thought that was very interesting, and we never really explored what happened there.
I thought someone speculated that was sort of a throwaway in case the person who was voted out, whose name I'm completely blanking on.
Sarah.
Thank you.
Yes.
In case Sarah used her shot in the dark and, you know, was immune, and that way it wouldn't be like one. I really believe that foursome, at least from like Genie and Brad's perspective, I think Genie and Brad thought that like the two of them and JD and Shan were a foursome. And that like Ricard was on the outs and then Sarah was on the outs. Mm-hmm. And so I think that they sort of like Genie's like cast a safety vote at Ricard just in case Sarah used her shot in the dark. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Shan is in such an interesting position here where it's seemingly like she was sort of like the person in the middle with the twosome of Brad and Genie on one side. And then also sort of like more of like the reluctant twosome of like she had like was close with JD, close with Ricard. We saw them starting to hit it off more in last week's episode. And she could have gone either way. And she ultimately goes with the two people that maybe have like less of a tight bond, like where it seemed like that she was with Jeannie and Brad, but she was more of like the third wheel, even though I think that they both looked to her. She ends up going with on the side where I think that both people view her as like their person.
Right. Right. And that's a great spot to be in, where you're like the link between the other two people rather than the third of that wheel.
Third wheel.
Yeah. Yeah. But that is like you want to be like the link between all the allies rather than the one on the outs. I think that's. And so, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe that's a great reason to stick with Ricard and JD rather than vote out JD. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's a good move? Like I thought, I mean, again, like I'm sure there's a lot of other stuff that we're not seeing. You know, those relationships are a lot more complex than we get in the show. But like again, like I just feel on the merits of like the resumes, you know, the bullet pointed list. Like I thought, you got to stick with Brad here.
I just don't know if she looked at Brad as like a ride or die. Where that I feel like she wants to go deep with JD into the game, and you know, we really didn't see a lot about what Shan and Brad's relationship was. It was more like Brad told us about what the relationship was. We didn't really get to see them, where it feels like that Shan and JD seem like that they have more of like an emotional bond. When at the first tribal council, when JD is like getting up and whispering in her ear and she's like, I got you. It just seems like that they have more of a connection than Shan and Brad have.
But Brad was the one who actually like showed her his goods, you know, and JD kept them. I just like, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe you're probably right that like, just like personally, there's probably more of a connection than that. That probably was mm-hmm. Shan's decision. It was like, who do I actually like feel more connected to? But like on the merits, like that you know, it just
Brad, I think that arena. She might have been maybe 50-50. She seemed really split about the decision.
But we saw her go to Ricard and say, we need to vote out, you know, JD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Ricard, I do not think was conflicted. I feel like that Ricard was disappointed in JD, but I think that he was much more gung-ho that we have to vote out Brad. So I feel like that she's like on the fence. Her ally is definitely vote out Brad. So I think she's made the decision easier.
So is Ricard running the show?
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, I still think that Shan has more of the power in that tribe, because I do think that JD looks more to Shan as a number one than JD looks to Ricard as a number one. But I think he is still in a, you know, very good spot.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Okay. You know, we didn't spend a lot of time with the other tribes. Actually, before we move on, I don't want to let the night go by without mentioning Brad creating the fake Brad to sleeping Brad to be a decoy to everybody else.
I was so glad they shouted out Ferris Bueller, because that, of course, was my immediate thought, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, again, Brad, I mean, his mind.
So many fun moments, mm-hmm. like second chances. Let's get Brad back on the show.
Yeah, I would love it. Okay. So, see, we didn't see too much. First off, this was the night we saw the least from Yasa. Really, the only thing that we saw over there was, you know, we saw at the beginning of the episode, Liana beating herself up over that, you know, she felt like that she didn't get her way on the vote at the at the last tribal council. And I have to say that I thought a little bit of you, and I don't mean this like as a dig in any way. When I rewatched,
I'm glad you're thinking
about me. When I rewatched, you know, Second Chances a few months ago, you know, there's a point where I think it's like a very emotional point in the season where you're talking about how, you know, you knew the right move to do is to get rid of Joe Anglum. And I think, you know, history was on your side. Yeah. and you said, like, I just can't, like, people aren't seeing it my way. You were very frustrated, and you were, you know, having like a moment on, you know, in your confessional about that. And I felt like that was a little bit of what Liana must have been feeling.
Yeah. As Joe might say, the election or the vote was stolen. It was stolen from him.
You stole it. Yeah.
I was contorted. I was trying there. Speaking of, mm-hmm. you know, there was an attempt. I think that's right. And I actually thought of me too, as I often do. Mm-hmm. No, when I was watching that confessional, it did remind me of that moment from Second Chance as well. I think, you know, to your point about, you know, this short, more aggressive game, then that fear of having it pass you by, I think that's really very frustrating on Survivor. And I think that's one of the wonderful things about more contemporary players is that they are aware of how crucial every vote is and how, like, if you are not guiding the game at every moment, you may be getting left behind by it. And your plans, you know, to create the game that you want, that you see as like your path forward, you know, ultimately can be frustrated. So, you know, Liana last week, it seemed like it was actually not a bad week for her, right? She saved her ally. Mm-hmm. You know, she didn't have as great a relationship with Voce as, you know, Evie did. But yes, to like see the correct move, know that it is the right move, know that it's like a good move for your game, and then not be able to execute it is extremely frustrating because, you know, there are limited moves. And this used to bother me and bother us all the time about, you know, players in the game, was that like they didn't, like they would wait for the, you know, they would wait, they would push decisions and push votes down the line until it was too late and they'd miss their opportunities. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a great, powerful moment too.
We saw Tiffany ultimately be the person to find the advantage to go over there. And I thought that Tiffany, she's a very fun character on this season also. Yeah. Like, you know, I liked, you know, she has a lot of moxie. She's talking about how she wishes that if people didn't see her with the advantage, she would never tell anybody in the group. I mean, that she didn't really seemingly have to sneak out. It seemed like that everybody in her tribe, like, knew where she was going.
Exactly. Yeah. It seemed like both of them, like Sydney, just like disappeared and then reappeared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Sydney, I think, is probably the more interesting person to talk about here in this episode, because we did a lot of flashing back in this episode of Survivor, where Sydney is talking to Danny and the group about how she woke up the night before to flashback to Nasir says, "Hey, we got to vote out Danny."
That was such a weird flashback because there was no like dramatic tension. I mean, I think it's so cool that they're experimenting with, you know, the way time works in an episode. I think that's really fun. And like, there's like ways of like structure and how like a scene can be structured, not entirely linearly. But in that case, I thought it was a little unnecessary. Do you agree with that?
I mean, I guess
like, why not just have the conversation with Nasir? Then there's like some question or tension of like, oh, is Sydney going to go with that? And then you show her, you know, ratting on Nasir to Danny.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like that maybe because of they sort of got painted in with like, if you want to show Liana at nighttime, maybe it's like one too many, like cutting away from like,
same
it's
thing.
Like Liana at nighttime to then let's cut to Nasir and Sydney at nighttime. And now let's go back to Yasa in the daytime. And now let's go back to, so maybe it was just a way to.
Oh, like, that's great. That makes sense. It's like the sequence of the actual episode. That makes a lot of sense. But again, like, I think it's really fun that they're playing with how time unspools in a given scene. And that's really like just interesting to watch. But like, What did you make of that?
I don't know that I well with this tribe. What's every other episode? Like first episode, Nasir. Oh, he's said that Danny and Deshaun need to go home. All right, he's on the outs. Like last week, we love Nasir. This tribe cannot operate without Nasir. We love Nasir, greatest guy ever. This week, Nasir's got to go. We don't need Nasir. We were wrong when we thought we needed Nasir.
Such an erratic, like such a very erratic up and down edit. And I guess it's like on the, like the winning tribe, like all you can do is just like little brief snippets of like one guy's got to be the goofball. You know, one guy, it's like always like there's one guy who's like the outsider on like the super winning tribe. And you just like, kind of like go to that person for the, like the comic person, like comic moments. And you know, in this case, it's Nasir.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of Sydney's choice though, to go for the tarp? I just thought that was so interesting. Like she just was doing this big gimme, like it was like this just sort of like very generous move with these people she hadn't met.
Yeah. it seems like that she just wants no part of like any sort of this chicanery. I mean, she did want to be the person to go to pick up the Beware Advantage, but I don't know. She seems tight with Danny, and I feel like that Danny also, similarly, when he went to Shipwheel Island, was also like the protective vote. So maybe that's sort of like the culture of this tribe of like, okay, we know, and Deshaun, like we know he is not necessarily, that's not how he wants to play, but I wonder if, you know, Sydney and Danny might be sort of like you know, close allies and may view the game the same way.
Right That makes it like it's more of like it's like mateship.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's not That's not how we do things around here at the Love You Tribe.
Exactly.
Steven, anything else from the episode really jump out to you?
I thought it was a very funny, fun moment when Xander said to Brad, I like what you said about broccoli.
Yeah, I like that. I like that also. That was very funny. I mean, yeah, it reminded me a little bit of like Colby and Russell in Heroes versus Villains, where like Colby's like telling Russell, like, hey, go see JT after the challenge.
Yeah, that was a great moment.
And Russell's like, I would shake your hand if I could right now. Colby's like, well, there'll be plenty of time for that later.
God.
Yeah.
So iconic. Yeah. And hey, Tiffany did great on the balance. That was,
she did
a fun moment. Yeah.
She did it. Jeff talked her through it. Jeff's voice, still not back to normal.
Yeah. He lost his voice.
That was my son's, one observation in the episode. He was watching it. He's like, dad, what's wrong with Jeff Probst's voice?
He needs to drink some tea.
Yeah. Yeah. Something else I really that tickled me from Jeff tonight was where Jeff opened the tribal council and talked about, all right, JD, the Survivor newspaper. What's on the cover? Like, hold on. This whole season is like, it's a new era. Here we are. TikTok. Break the fourth wall. But also, what's on the front page of the Survivor newspaper? Print is alive and well here on Survivor 41.
It's your life, JD.
I'm surprised JD is like, what's a newspaper? All right. Let me, I'm just looking at my notes if there's anything else. But all right, let's talk about some of our questions. Of course, I want to also shout out for our patrons, for the patrons of Robinson Podcast. Monday night, we will be back doing the Survivor 41 patron Q&A. David Bloomberg will join us in addition to telling us about why Brad lost this week with Jessica Lewis. He will join us to answer your questions this Monday night, 7 p.m. Eastern. And that's going to be one of our patron episodes of the podcast. We'll be right back to take some questions here tonight on Survivor Know-It-Alls. But first, let's thank a sponsor. Those are our friends over at ZipRecruiter. You know, there are some things in life that I like to pick out myself, so I know that I've got the best one for me. For instance, tarps. You know, that want to make sure I have the perfect one. Advantages, don't want to get any of the bad ones when I go to Shipwheel Island. For you, it might be steak or mattresses or bottles of wine. What if you could do the same thing for hiring? What if you could choose your ideal candidate before they even apply? That's where ZipRecruiter's invite to apply comes in. It gives you, as the hiring manager, the power to pick your favorites from top candidates. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/survive. Well, how does invite to apply work? Well, when you post a job to ZipRecruiter, they send you the most qualified people for your job. Then you can easily review the candidates and invite your top choices to apply for your job. Lauren Webb, she is just the Senior Vice President of Talent Acquisition at Mindola Health. She raves about ZipRecruiter's invite to apply. She said, I love that feature because we have a much higher follow-through rate. If I invite candidates, it's easy for me and it's easy for them. In fact, according to ZipRecruiter internal data, jobs where employers use the ZipRecruiter's invite to apply, they get on average 2.5 times more candidates, which helps make for a faster hiring process. See for yourself. Just go to this exclusive web address. It's ZipRecruiter.com/survive. That's S-U-R-V-I-V-E to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/survive. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Now let's get back to the smartest way to listen to Survivor, the know-it-alls. Steven, let's get to some of the questions. Okay.
Oh, I wanted to, by the way, Shannon Gus had a very funny tweet about how, given all your Survivor podcasts, she was going to do a podcast that was just a recap of all your Survivor podcasts.
Yeah. Look, we've been kicking around that idea to cover all the RHAP shows for a while. We would be very fortunate if Shannon ever took that on.
That would be a big, I mean, I can't even imagine. I mean, how many hours of podcasting do you put out every week? Even about just about Survivor.
Over the network? I think we might have do 9 or 10 Survivor shows a week. Wow. Just for every week of Survivor on RHAP.
That's amazing.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a question here. Deshaun wants to know, is it better to disappear from camp completely or pull the Ferris Bueller like Brad did? What do you think, Steven? Is there more of like a paper trail if somebody comes back and sees like, wait, what is this?
First of all, it's so dark that
Brad,
I can and they all
Brad.
They all sleep in separate spots, which I thought was interesting.
On the beach,
Brad's,
too.
On the beach. Yeah, they're not all huddled together. I guess it must be like kind of temperate because they're not like clinging to each other for body heat. Which like, hey, lucky them. Like so much for like the hardest season of Survivor ever. But
they should have waited until it was colder.
The cold nights are truly probably the hardest part of Survivor other than boredom. And these guys don't have either of those things. Anyway, so I think given how dark it does get at night, I think the Brad strategy is actually pretty effective. You know, either one. No one's really paying attention. Jeremy, when he went off, you may not remember this in Cambodia, there was some like mystical idol in the middle of the woods. He was like, I'm getting terrible gastrointestinal distress. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to go and you just let, if anyone was looking for me, let them know that I'm really, you know, I think mm-hmm. that works. You know, no one's going to follow up too closely. You know, if you're pooping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think it's harder to get away in the small tribe.
Right. Because like, right. It's right. That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just say you're sick. I mean, and here's the thing, like I would talk about how sick I was all the time. And that way I could always go look for an idol because I could always say I was out being sick. You know, you lay the groundwork. Mm-hmm. You know, you just tell them early, like, I'm sick. You know, if you're a little bit sick, that helps. But mm-hmm. then it gives you kind of more carte blanche to sort of, you know,
smart
things out.
Okay. Yeah. This is from Jordan in Sunset Park. Won't they just hide Brad's Beware idol again tonight? Production is not going to let that three-way get away. Whoa. Okay.
Well, I think so.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because interesting thing about this idol is that, you know, you are also like you have an idol, but also everybody is going to be knowing that you have an idol.
Like the whole community, like the whole game, like everyone is going to know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's what I think that we were talking about that a little bit last week. Like, that's what I think is like so crappy about this. I mean, crappy in a great way, right? I think it's really fun that there's a lot of
like crappy, like the crap hitting the fan and then the fan is also made out of crap.
I don't think a fan made out of crap would function very well. There's no way. Engine? Is there, is the crap dried? Maybe like dry crap.
Maybe it means just like the fan is like you bought it at like the 99 cent store.
I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like cheap plastic mm-hmm. crap.
Yeah.
So the whole, like everyone on all three tribes is going to know who has the idols.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's not a great position.
We'll see how that complicates things. Okay.
Yeah.
Ricky says, do you think JD will ask Shan for his extra vote back and will Shan return it to him willingly? Do you think that Shan will keep it? And ultimately, which is these is best for Shan?
I still think voting him out, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. Is the move here. I think she'll give it back, though. I do think she'll give it back. I think that's how, you know, you build trust.
But give it back when? Like, I mean, let me hold your extra vote for one tribal council and I'll give it back to you. And now that's fine. Like, maybe it's like, I'll give it back to you. You know, I mean, and you could swap, too. But I wonder, is there any danger now that they're down to four people? Like, I kind of feel like holding on to his extra vote for a little while longer might be a smart move because hypothetically, I mean, that JD, you know, he's talked about, hey, I'm playing a big game. I'm playing an aggressive game. I think that Shan knows this, that, I mean, he could pick up Genie and all of a sudden they have the majority.
Right, right. That's a good point.
They could vote out Ricard at the next tribal council if they wanted to with his extra vote.
That seems so unlikely, right? Like, I guess you're right. I guess if you're being very cautious, but, you know, I think Shan still probably, like you said, has it's not just, right, it's not chess pieces. I think Shan probably has, feels like she has a bond with JD. I would not, it doesn't seem too
probable. I loved when she said, you know, you can have it back when you're done being grounded.
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
I love that. Yeah. And we haven't mentioned it, but I also felt like that, you know, Shan had, you know, that really emotional confessional where she talked about how when she was a kid and her parents were separating and her parents asked her, do you want to live with mommy or daddy? And she had to make that decision. And that was like, how tough of a decision it was for her to decide between Brad and JD. That was taking her back to that. So I really did like how, you know, they were able to incorporate like some emotional backstory into this.
Yeah. I mean, voting is hard. Voting that was relevant. Hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it is painful.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's take another question. This is from Terry.
And Terry wants to know, do you think Shan should have cut the person that hid something from her instead of the one that trusted her completely?
Well, Steven thinks that she definitely made the wrong decision.
I just think it's like such a gift to have someone who is showing you so much trust. I mean, JD even said to her, like, you shouldn't share your advantages on Survivor. JD's probably right. And that's why you should get rid of him. You know, mm-hmm. like, you don't want the guy who knows the game well. You want the guy who doesn't know the game well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're both loose cannons. I mean, that's the thing, but they're loose cannons fair. Like in different ways where, right. you know, she witnessed him like, what is he? He's running around like a crazy man, like he is like he's all over the place. JD, you know, again, he's trying to pull off like big things and like and not doing it well. So I think it just came down to the personal connection ultimately on why she wanted to go in that direction.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. How about this one from Paige? It says, did Heather sit out two challenges in a row? Did they change the rules?
So, this is a classic question. This is like a very, it's a great question. It's all.
You want to take this one?
No, it's just a classic question. You know, so this has always been a source of dissension. At some point, Jeff did clarify it's like basically per episode, which is not a meaningful degree of time when you're actually living the show, but it is of course a meaningful degree of time when you're watching the show. So it's per episode.
Yeah. But now if there's no reward challenges, I mean, it's basically like, you know, permanent sit out.
Yeah. You can just sit out every challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does that bother you at all?
Yeah, it does bother me. I think it should be back-to-back challenges. I think if the tribe, you know, should have to play all their members.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is a good point. Because you have where, you know, if you have like a weak link, but you happen to win the first challenge, it's just basically like permanent advantage.
Yeah, I don't like it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe something they should look at if they're going to continue this format. How about this question from Will?
Will Buckton wants to know, JD gives Shan his extra vote when nobody else is around. If she voted him out, nobody would know that she had it. Why didn't Shan pull a Denise on JD? Tell me, Rob, why?
Well, for you, is that a big part of this equation that she could have gotten the extra vote?
I think that's a small part of the equation. Mm-hmm. I think like getting that is a nice bonus and obviously great television, right? Like obviously that's such a good power move for the viewers at home. You know, he gave me his extra vote and then I voted him out. Like that's so sweet. But ultimately having an ally you trust, which again, like PS, like is JD really trustworthy? But ultimately having like an ally that you connect with is more, more important than like the one-off extra vote advantage, which almost never has an impact on the game.
You know, I've seen it talked about a lot in the like Survivor discourse this past week, but I'm not sure if we talked about it, but the extra vote is a lot more toothless than the idol. Do you like seeing the game flooded with more extra votes than idols?
Well, I mean, because of that reason, right? I mean, I think once there's multiple extra votes, maybe it'll be more toothy. Mm-hmm. You know, but yes, I agree with you. Like, the extra vote does not have typically the same like game upending, you know, potential of an idol. But that's what made the idol so fun, is that like this, you know, you have a huge majority, and then you've got this like lone person with their idol who's going to screw up everybody's plans. And, you know, it really like would upend the whole game in a way that was obviously very frustrating if you're in that majority, but made it really much more fun and more explosive for viewers. The extra vote really never did that. I mean, it's so situational where you really would need to have, you'd need to have a tie vote for that to be the case. And that there aren't that many super, super close votes for the most part. There's, you know, sometimes one or two a season. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, but maybe with multiple extra votes, you know, you actually, if you get three or four extra votes in the game at a certain, any tribal, like that could be a big swing.
Yeah. But I think potentially like, isn't the majority alliance going to just have more votes?
Yeah. And they'll also have, you know, they are as likely to have extra votes as anybody. So mm-hmm. We'll see. I mean, ultimately, you know, it's fun to try it out, I guess. But the idols themselves, yeah, probably have a little more strategic room to play.
I mean, we are, 4 hours into the season. Does anybody have an actual working idol at this point?
No. And that's an interesting point because, you know, vis-a-vis like fan complaints and versus fan service, you know, one thing that people do complain about a lot is all of the idols in the game. And mm-hmm. you know, in some ways, production is honoring that. There are no idols in the game right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that's going to be an interesting thing to watch. Just, you know, will it be more difficult to get your hands on idols this season? And, you know, will most of like the advantages be focused on getting these extra votes? Where I think that you put it so well, I think maybe in the first episode of the season where you talked about the votes are the survivor economy, not fire token. So I think that we might be all in on a season of like, just like, how many votes does each player have at a given point?
Right. Yeah. I mean, also like with the smaller tribes, the idols are more disruptive and in like, I think maybe a not great way, mm-hmm. like where it's like, you know, you can't, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think a smaller tribe makes idols more fun and power because they're obviously more powerful? Or do you think they're too powerful on a 6-person or 5-person tribe?
Maybe too powerful, yeah, where if somebody, if somebody has an idol, like in a 4-person tribe, and then you can't play an idol at the real final four. So, I'm not sure. I think that maybe like breaks the game a little bit. Any clarity from last week's decision of whether to vote out Voce, Xander, or Tiffany? It seemed like that for Yasa, they get through, this week's challenge with Tiffany and, not too much of a problem.
Yeah, seemed fine.
Okay.
Is there going to be a swap, Rob?
I don't think there is.
I don't think so either. What, do you think they're going to merge at 12?
I don't know. I feel like that if I had to guess, I think that they are going to merge later because of the heightened schedule.
Yeah. I'm guessing merge at 12 because then they can have like the two shots in the dark in the urn.
So, yeah, I would guess that I would think they're going to merge at even less. I mean, so we've lost four people now. So we're down to 14 people in the game. I don't think the merge is in two episodes.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think we'll merge at 10 if I had to guess.
Oh, wow. That would be fun. I like that. Okay. I like that guess.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Steven, let's talk about what's coming up here on Robin's Podcast, unless there's anything else you want to throw out there.
This was pretty thorough.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. We do what we can. All right. Let's talk about what's coming up tomorrow morning. Exit interview with Brad. Be on the lookout for that one. That should be a fun conversation with Brad. Get those up by Thursday afternoon. T-Bird will join me on the episode recap. Get your questions in for T-Bird. Rob has a website.com/survivor questions. And we will also post the links where if you want to send us questions on our voicemail line, Rob's website.com/voicemail. You can do that as well with T-Bird.
Hmm.
Okay. And then looking forward to catching up with Gandia. I've been going back and forth with her. She has a lot to say. She wants to talk about it all. We will have a fun podcast with Gandia coming up on Friday. Gandia was so good when we talked to her the first time through.
I really want to listen to that podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was like we ran the gamut of emotions with Gandia. Of course, Peridium coming up does a fantastic YouTube channel. Do you ever partake in the Peridium video, Stephen?
Oh, I feel like I was an early Peridium adopter. I'm a huge fan of Peridium. I really
early adopter. Stephen Fishback, of course. We will get into we'll get into it with Peridium. Get your feedback questions in robswebsite.com/survivorquestions or robswebsite.com/voicemail. Monday night, David Bloomberg will join me for the Survivor 41 Q&A. Steven, that's the show where I take calls live from the patrons of Rob's podcast. Mari Forth joined us this past Monday night, went about 2 hours taking calls from the patrons on all sorts of things. Great questions from the patrons. Looking forward to doing it again this Monday night at 7 Eastern.
Did Bloomberg eat crow over Voce?
I got to listen to why X lost, Stephen. Of course, David and Jessica tell us why Brad lost this week. Should be a fun conversation to get into all the things that Brad did. Check that out in our Survivor podcast feed as well as our Wrap Ups feed. And then this week on the B&B, the Real Weird Sisters are back. Find out what Martha and Alice have to say about everything. Stephen, are you a Harry Potter guy?
Yeah, I like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I would call myself a Harry Potter guy. I was a little older when those books came out, so I really enjoyed them, but mm-hmm. I wasn't like a fanatic.
Yeah, I missed it the first time through on the Harry Potter, but Dominic is into the Harry Potter.
Interesting. I always wondered like what the next generation, if there would be like a new kids book, but no, Harry Potter is
not
still,
yet. Not yet. Yeah. No, well, or at least not that we know of. Okay. Check out
On the Otter.
Yeah. Mike and Liana with the Real Weird Sisters. And then check out over on Survivor Global, Shannon Gus, the world's biggest Survivor fan, is going to be talking with Simon Mee to talk about everything that's going on in US Survivor over on our Survivor Global.
Yeah. Hey, did you know that there's like 3 seasons of Australian Survivor on Paramount Plus?
Yes. Seasons 4, 5, and 6 of Australian Survivor are available on Paramount Plus. And just the synergy between the U.S. and Australian Survivor is so huge right now.
I know. I mean, there's this rumor that Sandra Diaz-Twine is going to be on the next season of Australian Survivor. Sounds like it's going to be a blood versus water season. I don't know if that means her husband Marcus or one of her daughters will be on the season with her.
Yeah, well, on the latest Talking with T-Bird that we did with Sandra, she talked about how her daughter, one of her daughters had potentially visited casting for US Survivor. So would be interesting.
It's such an interesting choice for Australian Survivor of all the survivors, because I mean, get Tony and you know, Mrs. Tony, mm-hmm. you know, you get like, I feel like, you know, like Jeremy and Val, you know, like why just one? Why not a couple of Americans?
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe they didn't have a great experience with the last American.
Well, I know, but you know, that's why you got to go a little bit broader. You know, if you you're choosing so selectively, you know, mm-hmm. you might get a, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Can I complain about one thing about Australian Survivor that I find extremely annoying?
Of course.
There's just no useful way to delineate Australian Survivor seasons. You know, like season 3 is actually season 1. You know, it's like one season is called season 8, but it's actually season 6. You know, it's like there are 2 seasons called Champs versus Contenders.
Yeah, that is true. I do think that seasons 4, 5, and 6 that are on are like, I think, starting with I don't believe that they're in counting the first and second.
But if you were to Google them, you would be actually Googling season 6, 7, and 8.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay. Well, I'm very sorry. Confusing. Sorry about that.
It's hard. It's something that I deal with.
Mm-hmm.
It's challenging.
Mm-hmm. Survivor Stock Watch is going to be live tomorrow. Taryn Armstrong is going to be live with Ovi. So check out what BB21's Ovi has to say about it. He's a big Survivor fan and can tell you that we have some other Big Brother interviews coming your way this week. So be on the lookout for that.
Wow.
All right. Then, Steven, have you checked out Squid Game?
I'm so excited to watch Squid Game.
Okay, brand new show here on RHAP. Nothing but Netflix, Steven. Each week, Chappelle and I will be watching something new or trending that's on Netflix. You like that podcast idea?
That's a great podcast idea.
Nothing but Netflix. And this week we're talking about The Squid Game. And wow. We have a man who knows a little bit about a squid pro quo, Josh Wiggler from Post Show Recaps. The Wiggle Room is going to join us to talk about Squid Game.
Does he know about Squid Quo Pro? Mm-hmm. Is that a thing with Josh? Is that like a bit?
Yeah, from now I'm blanking on
it's a thing. It's like a known thing.
The show, yeah. Sorry, the Rob. HBO.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Yeah, the HBO show with the giant squid. Yeah.
A Watchmen?
Watchmen, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Josh covered that with Antonio Bizarro. Yeah. So, all right, Squid Game coming up. Nothing but Netflix, of course. So much going on in our patron podcast feed between all of the Survivor 41 Q&A. We just did our patron cast, the patron 5 for 5. You get early access to the feedback show every single week. And, of course, access to our patron community on Facebook and Discord. It is a great way to experience any Survivor season. So come on over and join in on all the fun at robinsonwebsite.com/patron.
You do so much for your patrons, like truly.
Oh, Stephen, thank you so much. That I feel like that we get to have a lot of fun. It's the patron community is a really like just an amazing group of people, 7 years strong, and we've made so many connections and bonds within the group. It's a really nice family that we built.
Yeah, you've really done an incredible thing. I mean, the limited exposure that I get through the live shows that we've had has been just really special. I've really
thank you very much for saying that.
Do you think there will ever be a live show again, or is that just a legacy?
I think so. Yeah.
Maybe I'll show up in like a hazmat suit or something. Maybe I can
No, I think we're on the right path.
Like the Moon Man coming into that.
I think we're on the right path. Maybe we'll have one where like everybody can quarantine for 14 days, and then the 15th day will be the show.
It would have to be an abbreviated. It would be an extra aggressive schedule of the show itself. Mm-hmm.
We'll rent out a whole building.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds super fun. That would be a really fun 14 days.
Yes. All right. And then hit that subscribe button. If you're watching us here on YouTube, that's where you get so many of our shows, and so many of our podcasts and wrap-ups are doing video now. So you want to make sure you are seeing them all when you hit subscribe on YouTube. And of course, go to robswebsite.com/subscribe to make sure you're subscribed to Rob's a Podcast and Reality TV Wrap-Ups. You can follow us on social media as well, on Twitter, on Instagram, and my favorite, on TikTok, Steven.
That's your favorite?
I do. I love TikTok.
I'm too old.
that's what you think, Steven. Come on. Yeah. Jump on in. Yeah. All right.
Maybe in a few years.
Thank you so much for all that, Scott. All right. Steven, what's coming up for you?
Next week I'll be here live podcasting with this Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Mm-hmm.
New episode of Paraphrase will be dropping soon.
Oh,
I know. Yeah. I know everyone was waiting for it with Lincoln Michelle, author Lincoln Michelle, author of the really fun sci-fi noir, The Body Scout.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a great, fun sci-fi noir. It's about a baseball scout in the future where all like the players are biogenetically enhanced. And this guy's brother dies, and he has to track it down, who the killer is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
No scout from Vanuatu?
Exactly. Well, she could have used bio-enhancements given her bum knee. So, that would be a good tie-in.
Yeah. All right, where can people find the Paraphrase podcast?
I believe paraphrasepodcast.com. I still think I still have that domain name.
Double check.
I should check before I promote it. Twitter.com/paraphrasepodcast. Mm-hmm. Oh, fishy. People asking for the fishy. Sam is saying fishy goes to Ricard because I really thought it was not a great move for Shan. I thought it was an unambiguously good move for Ricard to get someone out. Totally diminish the power of this Brad Genie alliance that has dogged Ricard from the get-go.
Yep.
Fishy award for Ricard.
Do you think that Liana, that there would have been any comfort to her where she opened the episode crying about that she didn't get Xander out when she wanted to and that somebody should have come and patted her on the back like, Liana, you won the Fishy last week.
Yeah, exactly. That would be a flash forward in terms of like them using a lot of like
they haven't done that yet.
Yeah. They could like cut in like to her now, you know, and have like Jeff telling her. That could be something powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you all so much for joining us here on the Survivor Know-It-Alls. So much Survivor podcasting coming your way here over these next 7 days. And of course, Steve and I will be back after the next episode. Steven, anything else?
That's just so much fun. And just it's such a joy to do this.
Okay. All right. Thank you for joining us tonight. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. That's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.